Amen. I hope you can go in this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, if you have them. If you don't have a Bible with you today, there's some in the pew in front of you. They're blue, just like the songbook. They say Holy Bible on the front of them. And we'd love for you to use them. That's what they're there for. If you don't have a Bible, you are welcome to take it with you. We'd love for you to have that and to have a Bible. John chapter number 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture. But let me say again, thank you, thank you, thank you for all our first responders. Those that have come, amen, and stopped in with us today, all of you that are able to respond. We're thankful for those that run in, amen, when we need them, and there's those that we can call, and so what a blessing it is to know that, and that we have folks to call on, amen. So John chapter 3, we find a man here who is calling on Jesus. He is coming in, and he doesn't understand some things, and so he has come, and he comes by night, because a lot of times when there's troubling things or worries, it happens at night in the dark hours. This week, we've had to make a few, people have made some calls, and both of those happened in the evening, in the dark of the night, and call first responders to folks that we know, and we're thankful that there is someone that we can call. The message title for the tape room today is The First Responder from Heaven. The First Responder from Heaven. Most of us don't always see Jesus as our first responder, because many times we think about the Lord or God himself as someone who we can call on, but he doesn't get there as fast as we want him to, or the things, and we realize the Bible is an aged book. 40 different men penned down what God told them to over 1,600 years to make this King James Bible what it is today, and we're thankful. And I'll just say this for all of us, you may think it's an old-fashioned book, but I'm thankful that I have the Word of God, exactly how God wanted me to have it. And it's important for us. And so as we turn to John chapter 3, I hope you found it. If you found it, could I get a hearty amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're there. I want to pray and ask the Lord to help us today as we just try to be his messenger boy and deliver what God wants us to today. And so if you would pray there and ask God to help you hear the Word of God and for God to speak to you today, I'm going to pray and ask God to help me to just do exactly what he's asked me to do this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you again for being able to be in your house. I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. God, I pray that you'd help me. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, use me as your messenger boy just to deliver exactly what you want to be delivered to people today. God, I pray that if there are those here in the building that don't know Christ as Savior, that today that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would call on him today, God, to be saved. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God would have free course in the hearts of men and women to draw them to you, the Christian today, to be drawn closer to you, God, the one that is closest to hell today, God. I pray that they would realize that they can accept Christ and receive heaven because of what Jesus did on Calvary. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 12, I want you to go there and see that. But let me give you just a little bit of history, and I'll encourage you to go back and read the beginning of the chapter. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and wants to know some things of him, and he tells him that he knows he's a teacher. That's why he's come to him, because he knows there's something different about Jesus than every other teacher that he's ever been with before. He had suspicions that Jesus was the Messiah that had been prophesied and talked about through all the years. And he wants to know how he can be saved. And Jesus begins to speak to him and talks to him in a way and tells him that he must be born again. Now, to Nicodemus and to many of us, if we were not Christians or had never heard the term before, being born again would be a strange set of words. Just like Nicodemus, who must have been someone who was very literal. He doesn't take a spiritual meaning of being born again into God's family. He says, how could I be born again now that I'm old? Do I have to enter again into my mother's womb? Now, all of us understand that that's an impossibility. All right? I'm a grandfather, and even though I got a small grandboy, he is growing like a weed, and it would be impossible. You know, he didn't come out that size, amen? And you get terrible twos and headed towards threes, and I'm just saying, you don't want to go through that again, amen, being born again. But being born again meant to into a different family, a spiritual birth, not one of the flesh. Every one of us that are born will always be born once from our mother and born into this life. But there's a second birth if we're going to be born into God's family that has to take place. Nicodemus being a Jew and Jesus being a Jew, understanding the law, both of them being doctors of the law, Jesus doesn't understand why he doesn't understand what he's talking about. He's trying to use earthly things to speak to him of something that is spiritual because it's something that he's experienced. Do you know a lot of times when we talk about things, sometimes we need to understand things, spiritual things, with earthly things. Jesus told so many parables. He took heavenly things and gave earthly parables about heavenly things, trying to help us to understand what he was trying to convey. He gets to a place in chapter 3 and verse 12, he begins to actually say to him, if I'm going to tell you about earthly things, how can I tell you, or if I've already told you earthly things, how am I going to tell you about heavenly things? He wants us to be revealed, but he does. He goes on and begins to tell him about heavenly things that have happened. I want you to see in verse 12, he says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus specifically calls about himself that as a first responder from heaven, that he has come down from heaven. He says, in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus begins to tell him, he's like, I don't think you can quite understand of the heavenly things that I'm about to talk about. But Jesus speaks of himself as the Son of Man, having come down from heaven, descending down to the earth to do a work, and then begins to talk about that work. To us, it seems like he's coding it a little way or saying, you know, I don't understand all the codes that first responders have. All right. I mean, you can listen to one of the, you know, you can listen to everything they say, but I mean, they throw out a bunch of numbers. And to me, that's just a bunch of numbers. But they respond because they know exactly what those numbers match. And they begin to act on what was said. And for us, sometimes we don't realize that heaven's got its own language. And that spiritual things sometimes are said different than the way we always say it on earth. And he begins to give us a insight that as Moses was lifted up, all right, that serpent in the wilderness, he's trying to tell him, hey, that Old Testament picture, Nicodemus, that Moses held up, that there was help, that salvation could come to anybody that looked to the serpent. He said, I'm telling you, I'm going to be lifting up, and anybody will look at not just that symbol. Listen, I know that many of you, you know, first responders may not always be somebody, but I know that there's at least some CPR training, but that symbol that we use even to this day of a rod with snakes bound around it goes all the way back in its history to Moses and that rod that was there, and that if you would look for help from the Lord, it would heal you. And most of us are biblically ignorant of those things. Nicodemus was not. He knew about Moses. He knew about that rod. He knew who had looked to that. And he said, just the same way they did in a picture look to that and God healed them, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And it's not just looking on Jesus, but calling to him and for him. Folks, I would submit to you, he begins to talk about, you know, most first responders, everybody in the room, you realize that you don't want policemen, sheriff, anybody that's out there to protect you. You don't want the first day on the job to be the first time they fired a gun. You don't want them figuring out how to put the clip in it for the first time out there on the job. You don't want that to be the first time they did. You know, they do a lot of preparation and preparing to respond to the needs. Listen, they had to purchase cars. And then I'm just going to tell you, they don't just drive. If they're driving a Taurus, now I don't think they drive them anymore, but I mean, listen, they're a long way gone. Amen. Most of them are Dodges, you know, and I'm not a fan of Dodges, and some of them probably aren't either. But anyway, but I mean, whatever car they're driving, they don't drive the one like you drive. They suit that joker up. Now it's a computer. They talk to the computer and tell it to give me all you got. You say it ain't like that. Yes, your car is a big computer now. You know that. We know that, right? You say, preacher, come on. I'm just telling you, they souped that thing up. Why? Because they don't want somebody else to have a souped up car that's faster than theirs. And then when Pastor Carter outran all of them in town with his car, they got a helicopter, right? Hey, I mean, we laugh about it, but I mean, there's preparations that are made. They have a place. They have ways that they're going to work together. They know. Listen, long before anybody calls to need help, there were all these preparations made so that they could respond when they were needed. Many times when we see Jesus, we don't realize that from the foundation of the world, before God ever breathed life into a man, that God began, he knew that man would sin, and he began preparations to make him, to be able to be, to act or to respond when he was called on. Jesus is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Does it mean that literally Jesus gave his life? No, but this picture means that God knew long before, even in the Old Testament, when Moses held up the rod, that was just a picture that his son would be held up, lifted up between heaven and earth and laid on a cross and give his life to die for the sins of all men. I want you to see what the Bible says. He continues on after he tells him that Jesus speaks of himself having to be lifted up. In verse 15, he says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you to see some things that look at the first responder from heaven, the Lord Jesus, and correlate with first responders of today. They made preparations long before they were ever called on. And their purpose isn't always to harm or to hurt. If we're not careful, we'll think that all our police and our protectors and sheriff and state police and, I mean, all the different folks, the local, state, sheriff, all they do is sit out writing me tickets. They just wait for me to come blowing by. Now, that may be the only time you see them, but that's not the only thing that they do. That's not the only time that they respond. And by the way, most of the time, that's not you calling, but it's the folks that called and said, there's a crazy driver. He's going twice the speed limit, and he's in this vehicle. And guess who he named? You. And they responded to a call, and they went out there and said they waited for a while, and that guy was gone. But guess who came by? You did. Going faster than the speed limit. You say, what happened? Listen, you think all the Old Testament law was to hurt God's people, or do you think God gave it to help his people? The Old Testament law was there, and there were people who kept the law. Even today, I was reading about friends, and the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that a friend, if another friend tell you to leave God, to desert him for other gods, you know what he was supposed to do? He was supposed to take that man and draw him before the law. He was supposed to be the first man that laid hands on him and take him to the law to be judged, to be taken care of. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, listen, our first responders, listen, they prepared not, listen, do you think all of them in their heart says, you know what I want to do with my life? I want to sit on the side of the road and write people tickets. I guarantee you neither one of them ever came to the place. They said, I want to help people. I want to help people that sometimes can't help themselves. I want to protect people that can't protect themselves. I want to respond to people that have been hurt and help them in times of need. Listen, can you imagine, listen, that first responder that came from heaven before the foundation of the world made preparation to come. And when he did come, in the time that was appointed, he came to be lifted up on the cross and to lay his life down. We don't think about it, but all the Old Testament and the preparation of bringing a nation out of Abraham, and that seed was promised through Abraham and came down through the ages all the way to Jesus Christ. All of that was preparation so that there could be a man who came from heaven in the, listen, God, 100% God and 100% man that could lay his life down on Calvary and pay the sin debt of all mankind. The first responders we have today who are willing and put their life on the line every day are a good picture of Jesus Christ. The difference is they're just like you and me. They're sinners. They're men and women of just flesh and blood. But God sent His Son. And we needed a perfect Savior, a perfect sacrifice, somebody that could pay for all the sins of mankind. And so God made preparation to bring through the seed of Abraham all the way from Isaac and Jacob and build a nation out of them to bring into fruition Jesus Christ, who then came from heaven and laid His life down. The Bible tells us about it. It says, "For God so loved the world." It wasn't formed because God said, "The man is so bad. Man is so bad, I just want to go write him tickets. Man is so bad, I just want to go in and change everything that he's doing." No, God had love for man. As a first responder, before the foundation of the world began preparation, He said, "I love them so much, I'm going to give the most precious thing." Many of us don't think about it that way, but I believe many of the first responders in this life, many of them could be doing something else. And if you tell them that they make the best wage that they could ever make in their life, they would laugh at you. I believe most of them see it as a calling, something that God has given them to do, or something that they feel like is their life's purpose. They don't do it for, listen, now they're just like the rest of us. They got to have money. Money makes the world go round, love makes the world go round, right? But it's money that greases the world, we always say. So for all of us, as we see different things happen in our lives, we got to realize that this great first responder, that God responds with His love. Man had a sin debt that had to be paid. And God responds from heaven before we act, before we call, before we thought we ever needed a Savior. God sent His Son to die on Calvary and pay our sin debt. I want you to see what He says. If for God so loved the world, not just loved the world, but so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. It means that there was already a judgment on the life of every man, woman, boy, and child. That not just that we would die, but that we would die and go to a devil's hell and pay a sin debt that God did not want us to pay, but that He wanted us. In the verse before, He says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on in verse 17, He says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Do you realize how easy it would be for a perfect God to bring judgment on an imperfect world? How He had every right to bring judgment instead of love, to give, if I could say, punishment instead of what we would call the greatest gift of all time, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. He did all this because before we ever called, listen, He gave His life a ransom for all. In 1 Timothy chapter number, if you would, 2, I want you to look at it with me. Very quickly this morning, if you have time, take your Bible and look over with me. I want you to see that God not only sent His Son to, because He loved the entire world, but He wanted all the world to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, I'll give you just a moment to get there. God says this in verse number 3. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all," look at that, "to be testified in due time." Can I just tell you that, you know, it says here that He gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, a lot of times for us, all we care about the first responder is how quickly they respond. We measure the amount of time from the time that we make the call to the time that they're on site or at our house, and that's all we care about. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, it took a lot more time than that for them to be prepared and to be able to answer the call. They've been preparing and ready and stocking the shelves, either in an ambulance or in their car, making sure that they're ready for anything when they respond. Maybe it is we could talk about our local police or our state police, and they're thinking about everything that could happen and how they're going to save life, not looking to condemn life. And they come to the place where they realize here, like God said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He brings it to a place of faith. He brings it to a place of that there is judgment already in the life of a person, but what changes that judgment is when that person who is already condemned, the changing thing is when he believes on the Son of God. We've already read earlier in the verse that it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But then in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There's not a condemnation that falls upon man for unbelief, for man is already condemned because he's in his sin. Jesus came to ransom us. The Bible using the word ransom means that we were already oppressed. We were already in captivity. We were already sinners. If I could talk about myself, I'm a sinner. But I'm so thankful that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ one day and I got saved. And I moved from death unto life because I was condemned already, but because I believed, I'm not under condemnation. God gave his life in the form of Jesus Christ to be the ransom, not only for my sin, but for all mankind. That's what we read in 1 Timothy. We come to this place and we say here, he says that he's not condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He goes through this, and I'll just say this. We built much of the first responder. He came from heaven before we needed him to call. Before we ever called, he came from heaven. But can I just say this? Before we ever called on him, he loved us and died for us and paid for all sin on Calvary. Before we called on him, he wrote us a book that would tell us all about everything that he has done for us and how if we would believe on the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would save us, that he would ransom us back into himself. The payment has already been made on Calvary. All we have to do is call. Do you know today, my phone is sitting in my seat over here. If we had men running the back door with guns, now I pity them because I know many of you are carrying today. But if they came and we picked up the phone and we called, do you know that we have men and women in our city and our state that are prepared to take the call and to come as fast as they can to act on that? But you know why they're not storming in the back doors today? Because we didn't call yet. You know why they haven't come in to be a part and to act on our need is because we haven't made the call. We've even simplified it to a place where we can simplify it. And now we don't even have to dial the area code and all that. We just dial an emergency number, if I could remember it, right? I mean, we laugh about that because we made it so simple so that we could make the call. They didn't want it to be hard to make the call so that they could respond. Do you know that God is the same way? God never wanted salvation to be difficult for you. He wanted to make salvation so simple. He didn't want you to have to work for it. He says in his word, it's not of works lest any man should boast. We simply have to put our faith and trust, our belief, our faith, in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We literally, look at it with me if you would, turn to Romans chapter number 10. I want you to see how simple God made salvation. He made salvation so simple in Romans. Romans 10 if you would. The book of Romans in chapter number 10, the Bible gives us a simple, tells us that in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He gives us a guarantee that if we call on him. But you may say, how do I call? I don't see the number. I don't see the simple digits on how I call upon the name of the Lord. Well, look back in verse 9. God's already given it. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is so simple. It is confirming your belief in Jesus Christ. It says to confess with your mouth. That is simply to make a prayer or to call out to God and say, I believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, that he died and rose again. And again, an asking of, please help me, save me. It's a call to the greatest first responder of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven, laid his life down and rose again so that you could put your faith and trust in him, that he could be a ransom for everyone else. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of ransom, I realize that when someone has been taken, oftentimes people ask for a payment for something to be restored. And because Adam and man sinned in the garden, all of man was plunged into sin. But Jesus came and made a payment. He made the ransom to buy us back from the shackles of sin unto God. And when Jesus began to tell Nicodemus, you can be born again, he's saying, you could be bought back, received into the family of God, born into a spiritual, a different family. Today, I'm so glad. Listen, this week, we had a loss of someone in our spiritual family. And I'm going to be honest with you. There is nothing like a loss of someone who's close to you. There's nothing harder in this life to someone that is someone you walk with and serve with and loved. And I'll just say this. I mean, someone who you believe is your brother in Jesus Christ. It's hard when you lose somebody that's that close to you. But you know, I'm thankful today because my brother didn't die condemned and went to a devil's hell. He is alive and with the rest of my family, seated around the throne of grace, and I cannot wait for a heavenly reunion. And all of that is possible. It was made possible for you and for me by the greatest first responder, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and paid our sin debt and made himself a ransom for many. Today, many of you are comforted because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I offer everyone else who's never called or made that call to the heavenly first responder, Jesus Christ, to call upon his name. You can become a part of the family of God. You can have the comfort that we have and share in that comfort the same way Nicodemus did all those years ago as he put his faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. As Christians in the building today, let us be spiritual first responders. Let us to go out into this world and tell everyone else about the greatest responder that ever responded to the greatest need of all of mankind and tell them it's Jesus Christ. When I made the call to him, he saved me just like that. Everything that was needed to be done, he had already accomplished it so he could act in my life. If you are a Christian, you ought to be able to listen, share your faith with other people. But if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, it's not hard to be a Christian. Jesus has done all the work. All he simply wants you to do is make a call, and that is to call upon his name to be saved. We can take a Bible and show you how. We'd love to do that today. Please do this for us. Don't leave lost and already condemned. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, who has already paid the payment for your sin. Please today, accept Christ and be saved. As a Christian, let us be faithful to respond to the needs of the many in this world today and tell them about Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning as we enter into our invitation, can I invite you to do this? Would you invite Jesus, call upon him as to be your Savior? We'd love to take the Bible. You say, preacher, I still don't know how. I've preached about it. I've told you it's so simple. Would you let us make it even more simple? We could take the Bible and walk you through the verses and show you how you can call upon the name of the Lord. But the invitation is going to be to you. If you're like that and you say, preacher, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to call on the Lord. Well, while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you simply raise your hand and say, preacher, I'd like to do that today. I need to be saved. I'd like to call upon the name of the Lord. Nobody's looking but me and the Lord. Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I see a hand over here." Is there anybody else that's like that today? Would hold it up where I could see it. Maybe I didn't see your hand. You'd hold it up where I can see it. Listen, I'd love if you raised your hand to go ahead and make your way to the front before we have everybody stand. If they're in your row, would you let them out, let them by? Listen, as Christians, could we pray today for those that might be in our midst? Maybe they're scared to step out and respond to the invitation. Let's pray for them. I'm going to pray here. Would you pray there? Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help the people that need to be saved in the building to respond and call upon the name of Jesus. God, I pray that no one would leave lost, that everyone would have an assurity of their salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. The invitation is to you. I invite you to meet me here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. As Brother Bert sings, you come.